Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
Being busted inside a jar, it's not a thing that a right-wing Republican should do. All your talk of family values, flushed away in scandalous loo news, and all your denials are stinking like piles of political poo.
What a white stamp.
Tap three times with your loafer if you want me.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, TheRickSmithShow.com. I had to play that. Yes, I did. Because yesterday you had Jared Kushner come out. I did not collude with those Russians. It's going to go down in history. It's going to be right there with the I'm not a crook. I didn't have sex with that woman. And, of course, Lusty Larry's I am not gay. Never been gay. Except for that time in the bathroom. Wow. Anyway, here to talk about the yesterday's statement, the hearings, and the now, I guess, coming clean again and again and again. I'm hoping this is the final story. Maybe he's going to stick with this one. I've asked our good friend Andrea Chalupa to come talk with us. Andrea, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
He did not collude with those Russians, didn't have sex with them either.
Right, and we all have to leave him alone so he can bring peace to the Middle East.
Are you surprised at how inept, incompetent, and just plain ridiculous this whole thing has gotten?
I mean, to know Jared Kushner, no. I've interviewed him way back in the day for like a little story at Condé Nast magazine about Father's Day and what your father means to you. And, you know, obviously, you know, we all know who his father is. His father spent time in prison. His father was disturbed to try to set up family members, just total criminal element in that family. And I just remember interviewing Kushner, just this plastic in his voice, just, you know, somebody just, you could just feel the sleaze coming through the phone, and it actually made me uncomfortable. And I just filed off my little innocuous story, and that was it. But that left such a strong impression on me that this person just had no sincerity in his bones whatsoever. And he almost reminds me, given the dynamic with his father, he reminds me of that Tom Hanks, Leonardo DiCaprio film, Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
We're like,
I can see that.
Yeah, it's like the son becomes a criminal following in his father's footsteps. I think that's who we're dealing with when it comes to Jared Kushner. There's a reason why he refused to testify yesterday under oath, because he lies.
No, I understand, though. I understand if you get caught in a lie, there's still ramifications, right?
Right. But that's why he was like, I'm not going in there if it's under oath. And so they brought him in likely just to see how he reacted to certain, you know, pressure points, and that, you know, it's like they're detectives at this point in Congress. They really have to be Columbo and just sort of seeing what sort of tells these crooks are giving away.
Yeah, and at the end of it, I mean, it's about finally getting things down on the record. Because look, you can say, well, you know, I didn't think it was a big deal, so I omitted this, that, the other thing, or all of it. But now the thought that this is really serious and you better come clean, you're kind of getting that one last chance of going, now's the time to come clean. If you don't, we don't run out of time or money.
Exactly right. And this is going to plague the administration and prevent them from doing anything meaningful, which is probably a good thing for the rest of the world.
Yeah, but still, I mean, while we're mired in chaos, the rest of the world's moving on without us, and we continue to fall behind. So the idea is that, you know, we're going to be able to do anything. Well, what am I talking about? We're not going to do anything positive under this administration anyway. So you're right.
Exactly.
Maybe
right.
Chaos is the best we can hope for.
Right. Exactly right. I mean, that's a very sad point. That's the silver lining here, is that keeping them in this straitjacket of the Russiagate investigation, it really puts a cloud over everything.
But I mean, here's the thing, and this is the question I keep asking. Does it matter to you if you know Kushner didn't intentionally collude. He was just naive and ambitious and didn't realize that he was being played like a fiddle, because these are the people he's had relationships with and Trump's had relationships with. And there's this whole incestuous pool of oligarchs globally who do this stuff. Does it matter to you?
I mean, you're dealing with somebody that has no morals then. If it doesn't matter to them, then they simply lack morals.
Well, isn't the statement that anyone would have taken the meeting an indicator that they don't have any morals?
Exactly right. I mean, the email subject line could not be clearer. It's the Russian government bringing you dirt on your opponent. It was all in the subject line, almost as though that was intentionally done to bait these people and blackmail them at the same time, meaning we've got you, we've got this email, you're in our, you know, it worked so well for the Russian government. They not only got into the room with the Trump, Manafort, Kushner, they also got this email on them that they could hang over them and say, if you don't follow our orders, if you don't, you know, get us some progress on dropping these sanctions, we're going to release this email to the press. It worked perfectly. They walked right into the Kremlin's trap.
And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, and look, I watched a lot of those spy movies during the 80s. It's one of those, you know, those classic kind of, you know, how can you be so dumb to fall for that kind of moments that, you know, it's what they all do. Why would you fall for that?
Yes. I mean, they're not only immoral, but they're stupid. So they really are. And it's very hard to watch this, because it's painful, the mistakes they're making. It's cringe-inducing. And what's really interesting is that if he had never ran for president, we wouldn't know an ounce of all this horrible stuff about them. I mean, yes, there have been books and articles written, but they're buried.
Right.
They're not in the forefront in American discourse. And now it's like front and center in your face, no matter where you go around the world. There's a total microscope on all the dirt that this family has left behind. Their legacy is completely tarnished. Ivanka's brand is completely tarnished. There's just no way that they're ever going to bounce back from this.
Let me ask you the other side of this, because I've been saying for a very long time that, you know, the Russians have done a great job of infiltrating both the right and the left, but mostly the right. And I look at this latest bit, you know, Dana Rohrabacher is one of those guys who, you know, for years has been called Russia's congressman. Evidently,
right.
The Treasury, there's been a complaint filed with the Treasury Office's Foreign Assets Control Department stating that, you know, he and his staff director had violated this Magnitsky Act by trying to, you know, undo some of the sanctions on this Russian guy. And you go, you know, is it now we're just waking up to the reality that really the Republicans have been in bed with the Russians and this ideology for kind of a long time, and corporate America has been in bed with them for a very long time, too?
Yeah, I mean, if you've focused on matters regarding Ukraine, as I have for years, Rohrabacher has been an absolute nightmare for years for me and other people who focus on Ukraine. And it's just the rest of America is waking up to that. So I had an interesting conversation. So Sarah Kendzior and I sat down with Chris Stroop, who's an expert on evangelicals, especially where they intersect with Russia. We were talking to him about, like, who are these evangelicals? Why are they so pro-Putin? And so what's really interesting, what came to that conversation, is that the same movement that was the party of Reagan, half of that movement were these evangelicals, this religious right.
The Ralph Reed characters.
Yes, exactly. And they went on to attach themselves to Putin, who played the religious right in Russia. And so it was inevitable that the party of Reagan would become the party of Putin because of this religious right element.
I'm letting that digest, because, you know, you go back to that era, and, you know, that's got to, you know, if Reagan can spin in his grave, that's got to be something making him spin.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Reagan kept the religious right on his side because, of course, at the time, the USSR was atheist as a matter of policy. And there are these horrible stories of persecution against religious leaders, people of faith. And so Reagan, of course, capitalized on that with his own supporters. But now under Putin has wielded religion as a weapon inside Russia. And he's really exploiting people's prejudices with his, you know, anti-gay laws, his anti-women laws, decriminalizing domestic violence, and really taking a very hard line, very far-right religious sort of ideology that appeals to his base inside Russia and also appeals to Donald Trump's base inside the U.S. So it's actually a very natural marriage between the American far-right and the Russian far-right.
Wow. Now, you brought up Ukraine a moment ago, and you know the president, during one of his recent Twitter tantrums, you know, had pointed to the Ukraine and you know, making this statement that, well, basically laying the justification of, yes, Russia helped me, but Ukraine helped her. Any validity to that?
No, not at all. And what we have to always keep in mind is that the president of the United States is an extension of Kremlin propaganda. He himself is a vehicle of Kremlin propaganda. His inner family, his inner entourage, his family, they are now in the crosshairs of a very extensive FBI investigation. The noose is tightening. Paul Manafort, who's been serving Putin's Kremlin's interests for many years, making tens of millions of dollars off of that, tens of millions of dollars of blood money. Paul Manafort has just been subpoenaed today. So, of course, expect a lot of chaos and a lot of distractions coming off of the president's Twitter account. That is exactly what purpose he serves, for giving cover to this coalition of corruption aided by the Kremlin. He's just there to distract from the real issues. And as the noose is tightening, expect a lot more crazy coming out of his Twitter account, and who knows what else he might do.
Yeah. I've been watching it closely because he's been a lot more active these last couple of days. But here's the thing. Does Manafort flip? Because there's a lot of conversation going, well, you know, they're trying to flip him. And I'm going, I don't know, because don't walk near any open windows there, Paul.
Exactly right. I mean, I don't know. For Manafort to flip, he's somebody that lives and breathes collecting blood money from some of the worst authoritarian dictators around the world. That is his bread and butter. He is the man in the torturer's lobby. For him to flip, that would almost sort of signal that he has some sort of conscience, which I don't think he does. I think he likes the game for the sake of the game. I think he hates the feds, hates them coppers, whatever. You know what I mean? He's got like this thuggish old mobster quality to him. Right. So I think Manafort is going to go down shooting, unfortunately, and I think it's going to get ugly, and I think he's going to try to smear a lot of innocent people to distract from his own criminality. And I think they're just extremely desperate and cornered right now, and so they're going to do desperate things.
It's like any cornered rat. They're unpredictable, and it'll be interesting to see where it takes us. You know,
absolutely.
And again, I keep coming back to, you know, they keep saying it's a nothing burger. But if you're talking about preemptive pardons, and if you've got your lawyer out there going, no, we're not talking about pardons, you go, they're talking about pardons.
And they're talking about firing his good old boy, Jeff Sessions, because he recused himself. And it's just the president keeps hanging himself with his own words, you know, saying, if I would have known Sessions would have recused himself, I wouldn't have hired him. And can I fire him? So, you know, I can pardon myself. I can pardon whoever I want. Like, all these things that he's saying just is basically admitting his guilt.
I mean, it's really crazy. I mean, honestly, in your thought, you knew this administration was going to be bad. Honestly, did you think it was going to be this bad?
Yes, of course.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow, this is far exceeded even my wildest imaginations of how bad it would be.
Well, I have to tell you, the fact that anyone in their right mind thought that he would grow into the job, that he just said those things to get elected, that he's not as crazy as he seems, anybody who bought into that, what they were really doing was giving a white, rich man the benefit of the doubt. Okay, that's what they were doing. And that right there is, you know, that's white supremacy on display. That's the misogyny on display, because Hillary Clinton had to be perfect. She had to be perfect. I was going back and reading some of her quote-unquote scandals during the election, and they seem so quaint. They seem so quaint and cute now in retrospect. And it's just like, it's like, oh, Hillary Clinton brought the wrong thread to the quilting bee. She's crooked. I mean, that's what it read like in retrospect. Like how cute her little scandals were during the election. Like I miss those now looking back. But at the time, the media blew them up because, you know, here in America, we're a deeply racist country. We're a deeply sexist country. We horrify the rest of the world with our values. And for Americans to be shocked that Donald Trump would become president, it just shows you that we're fish that don't realize that we're in water.
I'll tell you, I just struggle because, like I said, this is worse than I thought it was going to be. And this administration today, we're talking about moving forward on a health care bill that's going to take health insurance for millions of people. It's just you've got a president who spoke in front of a bunch of kids about crooked Hillary and the crooked media. And I said, you know, who the hell wants to talk about politics in front of kids? And then goes on. It's just nuts.
Yeah, it is. And I, if they don't get him out of there, it's going to be 4 years of this, because as long as he's in power, this investigation is going to continue, and it's going to dredge up a lot of illicit behavior and the relationships to the surface.
Well, we're going to see how it goes on, how it continues. And as it does, we will want to have you back early, often, to keep us updated and informed and share some of your thoughts with us. All righty. I guess that we broke off. Andre, I appreciate the time. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Controversial, thought-provoking, opinionated.